Welcome to week 11 private practice boot camp. We're almost done. Home stretch. And this week is all about launching and beyond. So actually planning the unveiling of your practice as well as maintaining it. So for those of you on the call, how many of you have actually launched already? I think Sean, your practice already exists.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this as like a relaunch.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, and it is. I mean, ultimately, whenever we do any form of rebrand or reorganization, it is good, I think, to mentally look at it as a bit of a relaunch. Because it's like we have to now start doing a bit of a touch base for those people that maybe knew us as the practice used to be. And just starting to update some of those contacts and letting them know actually things have actually started to change. So perfect. So how about for you, Carmen?
Well, I haven't launched and my date is January 1.
January 1st. Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, January 1, I guess, is probably not the date. Yeah. That's a holiday.
Okay, but
might wait till January 2nd.
Okay, that's reasonable, yeah. Beginning of January, though.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And when you say that you're launching that week, what's actually happening that week that's saying this is, I'm ready for business?
I'll be available to see clients.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have the office lined up and...
Yeah, I have to confirm it.
Okay.
But it's on my list of to-dos.
Wonderful.
But yeah, I have this space sort of, I just have to confirm everything.
Okay. Yeah. And is your website going to be done?
I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Ooh. I mean, I have my list and I've gone through and I have all my tasks. There's a lot of tasks, but it feels achievable within December.
Okay.
So.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So January 2nd.
I could be wrong.
Well, and again, I mean, everything, with everything, I think we can do it a lot faster than we think we can. And also it's going to take twice as long as we think it's going to take. So it usually lands somewhere in the middle. So there's going to be aspects of it that you'll get done, no problem. And then there's going to be some things that are probably going to happen as a bit of a rolling process.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is, all this information is going to be on in the membership site on Friday. But know that once the program's done, so you'll have access to the membership site until December 31st, as well as access to the online community until then. But as of January 1st, anyone who wants to is invited to the alumni group. So that's where anyone who has taken the program before that wanted to stay connected, that's where people are. So as far as being able to stay in touch and still ask questions, things like that, you'll have access to that as an alumni of this program. And so that way too, you can be posting your new website.
Good.
And just getting to know some people, expanding your network.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I have a question that I need to ask. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, that's okay. I'll wait. It's okay. Irrelevant. So
okay.
I'll
come back. All right. There's no irrelevant questions at this point. And how about for you, Tanu? Do you have a sense of when you'd like to launch?
Yeah, I think I can. You hear me?
I can, yeah.
Oh, perfect. I was thinking probably September 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it just gives me some space just to kind of financially get myself together and then kind of have a more concrete plan.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at between now and then, what do you feel like you need to have in place?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is having I plan to kind of apply for some small business loans. So part of it is kind of getting that kind of information together. Mm-hmm. There's some First Nation organizations that help kind of entrepreneurs with that kind of thing. So I'm going to try to get in touch with those kinds of organizations kind of in the near future. I'm thinking in the early new year. And then I think I would just like to get some part-time work just to kind of see what that's like before, because I'm new at this, right? So I kind of just want to see what that feels like before I launch into a private practice.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a great idea, especially when you're just starting out.
Yeah.
Even just having a really small contract, it doesn't have to be full-time agency work or even necessarily something.
Yeah.
It can be a really small contract even. I know when I first started out, I had a 10-hour contract, 10 hours per month. And it was amazing how much just knowing that tiny little paycheck, knowing I could depend on it.
Yes.
It just took a lot of the stress out of it. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that sounds kind of in line with what I was thinking.
Perfect. And so September is the date.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, and
also my youngest will be in school as well. Okay. So both my kids will be in school at that time. So I'll be doing less caregiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need space for it or else it just feels overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we will keep an eye for it. And like I was saying, I mean, you'll have access to the online community. So kind of between now and then, as you're working through some of the materials, if you haven't done some of it already, I'm available to ask questions throughout.
Awesome. Right. Perfect.
Great. How about for you, Courtney? When are you planning on launching? Hi.
Well, I think that my launch, actually, I was thinking about launching like within the next month.
Okay.
And right now I've got a contract with Child Youth Mental Health, so I'm working with them pretty much 4 days a week guaranteed.
Okay.
Or 30 hours a week. So that would leave time for maybe one evening and then a full day of private practice.
Perfect.
However, things have kind of changed a little bit and a potential opportunity has come up to join a private practice in Nanaimo.
Okay.
With some psychologists that specialize in EFT. So I'm thinking I might do that for a little bit and try to get some free training and specialization. In the meantime, I've created my website now and have everything kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking I might just kind of keep that up and not say that I'm, providing services on my own right now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But my hope, I guess, now has shifted to the goal of launching probably after I go on mat leave, like when I have children, which I'm not pregnant or anything at the moment. But I anticipate that'll be in, 3 years or something.
Okay, great.
And then, yeah.
Well, and being an associate in someone else's private practice is still private practice. It's just private practice. Mm-hmm. It's almost like private practice light because you get all the benefit and all the experience, but you don't have the risk or the hassle of running your own business. So don't downplay that experience. I think there's a lot of learning that can happen there. And there's some people who ultimately never want to actually start their own private practice from the business side of things. But all the pieces that we've been going through are going to help you in being an associate. Because if you don't know who your clients are, if you don't know how you work, if you don't know how to communicate that, you're still not going to get clients even in somebody else's practice.
Totally. I'm feeling like, I've got mixed emotions about it because I was really starting to feel comfortable and excited about launching a practice and a lot more hopeful about having a sense or being able to define who my ideal client is and, development marketing in that way. And now piggybacking on another person's practice, I'm mindful of some of the other clients that I might just get by default as well, which is fine. But at the same time, I'm kind of going, but that's okay. It'll never go away, the option to go private on my own. So,
and that's what I would always say is a bit of the downside of somebody else's practice is ultimately there's somebody else making some decisions. And for some people, they really like that they don't have to make those decisions. And for other people, it feels like, well, but I want to be the one picking my clients and I want to be the one in charge of the marketing. And you'll get a sense pretty quickly of whether you're okay with letting someone else manage those choices for you or if it's something that you really want to do on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny though, just after doing our course and kind of developing a different awareness of the marketing and what to look for on other websites, I kind of, I don't know, these people have a very strong That's the word I'm looking
reputation.
For.
Reputation?
Yeah, reputation.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's been a long day. But a really strong reputation in town because, yeah, they're great psychologists, but their marketing stuff, I'm like, if I was a young person looking at their services, like, for me, I wouldn't be attracted to it aside from the reputation piece. But anyways.
Well, and I don't think that you're alone in that. And this is why I think this is great for other people to be listening to this, because I know that there's a few people who aren't able to be here with us tonight that I know are in a similar situation to you. And what I always recommend for people who are kind of on that edge of, I think I want to start my own private practice, but maybe not quite yet, but I also want to start thinking about it and building that foundation, is what you can do with your website is essentially start building it up as a resource site as opposed to as a platform to get people to book sessions with you.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it helps you, it takes the pressure off of this website needs to get me clients. And so you can spend as long as you need tweaking the content and playing with it. And the only real difference is just the services page is ultimately not going to exist. Or if it is, it's going to be directing them maybe to somebody else's practice. But what you can do is start blogging and start seeing what's driving traffic and just start adding to the site, even if it's 3 years from now that you're thinking of launching.
Yeah.
What it does is, as far as Google's concerned, the older a site is, the more credible it is. And so starting now and maintaining that site and having active things happening on that website for 3 years, when you do decide to launch,
yeah,
it's Google's going to say, this is a credible site. We've been sending traffic there. We need to continue sending traffic there. So it ups the chances you're going to be found by clients.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Whereas what a lot of people do is they say, okay, I'm not planning on launching for another 3 years. I'm not going to do anything with my website, and I'll deal with it in 3 years. And then essentially you're starting from scratch. Whereas if you know now this is my sense of what I want to do, you can just be putting blogs up even once every couple months for the next 3 years. There'll be content there when you're ready.
Totally. Yeah.
And then that way, if you do ever do, say, a workshop, or if you do any speaking or anything really, that's just a place that you can house all of that information.
Yeah.
So that once you're ready, and you know, this goes for you as well, Tanu, and anyone else who's listening in a similar situation, is you can actually start building that platform regardless of whether you're seeing clients or not.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of having kind of a living resume or a living representation of myself clinically too, outside of the organization. Like, I'm attached to Chung Youth Mental Health, I'm attached to this practice. Like, I don't know, I like having my own entity and existing online as well. I think that's important to me. So,
well, in that way too, if people actually search your name, it's going to land them somewhere that you ultimately have control over the branding. And the information that's being presented there, as opposed to, like you said, if someone were to search your name now, there's a chance that they might land on MCFD's website. They might get kind of a little paragraph about you, but that's ultimately the end of that. So it becomes the beginning of your personal brand online that you have control over, even if you're not using it at this point to fill a practice.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Thanks, Constance.
Perfect. Okay. I think, is anyone else joined? No, not yet. Okay. So I think a really important thing, you know, and some of you have already launched, but maybe doing a bit of a relaunch, some of you are planning towards it, is kind of setting a realistic time frame and then working your way backwards from it. Of if this is the time that I want to do this, what are the things that I need to do between now and then? Who are the people that I need to reach out to and either let them know I'm in practice, or maybe just remind them I'm in practice, or show them that I've done a little bit of a tweak on the site. I'm actually spent probably the last 10 hours today rewriting content for my private practice website. I'm doing a full rebrand of my whole site. And when I'm actually ready for it to go live, I'm going to be contacting a lot of people just to let them know, hey, you know, I've added some stuff on there. I'm doing things a little bit differently now. And it's amazing how just sending out one of those emails to colleagues, you will get a rush of referrals. Mm-hmm. And you need to maintain that over time, but just letting people know, hey, I'm still around. Hey, this is what I'm doing. All of a sudden you're the first person on people's mind when they have someone that maybe isn't suitable for them or they're full because you've just recently reached out to them. They're going to be sending you people. So it's just a really great way to just to reconnect. Is, yeah. Hey, by the way, I exist again, or I exist now officially. And that's that piece around just telling people.
Yeah.
I see it so often where people will actually, you know, they'll get their website up and running, they'll get everything in place, and then they just show up in their office and just hope that people know that they're there. Mm-hmm. The launch piece really, it is important that you're getting out there and just letting people know. And it doesn't have to be formal marketing or formal networking, even just telling your friends and your family and just people who are in your social networks. Because again, they tell people, they know, and they're often your biggest cheerleaders. So just making sure that you're being vocal about the fact that you're open, you are looking, actively looking for clients, is a really important piece to actually getting your practice up and running.
Yeah.
It's the piece we often skip. We've done all the hard work and then we kind of step back and say, okay, now the people come, right? I know for myself, when I first opened my practice, I would say I was probably out networking at least 2 days a week. I was out meeting with new people, going to some type of event or just going for coffee with someone or doing an informational interview with someone. And just that constant meeting of new people, that constant piece of letting them know, yes, I'm in practice and this is who I see and I'm available. And it was probably about 3 months before I really started to see the turnaround of that. And that's something that they really talk about as far as marketing is concerned, is what you're doing today is ultimately you're going to see the result of in 3 months. And or at 3 months to 6 months, kind of in that range. And often we do something for about 2 or 3 weeks and say, oh, it's not working. I didn't get a wave of clients, so I'll stop doing that. And so we start just putting ourselves out, really, because we're not doing anything long enough and consistently enough to actually see the results of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you do start, really give yourself that 3 month window at least of just the whole focus really is going to be letting people know you exist, letting people know what you do. And even if it feels like you're not getting anywhere, just continuing. If after 3 months you've seen absolutely no return on something, then I would say stop and do something else. But just making sure that you're doing it long enough to potentially get some of those results. Okay. And that's what I was talking about as far as that, the idea of that quarterly checkup is, and we're in a perfect time right now to actually be looking at your next year. And this is whether you're launching or whether you're already in practice, is actually breaking out the year into 4 quarters. And then looking at what are you hoping to accomplish in each of those quarters? And especially if you're first starting out, it might be, I just want to get my first 5 clients. And then afterwards, maybe I want to have 10 clients or maybe 15 clients. And just having some form of metric that you're using for what would success look like for you. And it might be a dollar value. It might be that I'm going to break this much, or I'm going to hit my break even, or I'm going to hit my monthly income goal. It could be a certain amount of clients that you want. It could be anything. For each of you, what your aim is at this point is going to look different. But just making sure for each quarter, you just have a sense of this is what I'm focusing on right now, because that's going to then significantly up the chances you're going to accomplish it, because that's the focus. So if it's based on getting clients, it's going to be networking is going to be the goal. If it's around certain dollar values, it may be playing with some of the costs and expenses as well as probably upping clients or changing your rates, or there's lots of things that we can be doing. But just in each quarter, just looking at what is it that I'm really focusing on for right now, making that the real intention. And then at the end of each quarter, checking in and how did I do? Was it working? What was working? What do I need to keep doing more of? What maybe isn't working? What do I need to change? And what that starts to do is, in the beginning, it's going to be all information in the beginning, because especially with a first year business plan, you don't have anything to compare it to. It's just, so far, this is what's happened. But what eventually happens is, once you've gone through your first year, you're going to start to have numbers you can compare to. So I have 5 years worth of data that I can look back and say, okay, actually this was, I did double my numbers from last year, or actually things are down from this year or this time last year, or up from this time last year, or this quarter I know is traditionally a little bit slower, and you'll just start to get a bit of a flow for your practice. And because everybody's practice is going to flow a little bit differently, depending on who your clientele is. I know for me, actually, for some reason, June or July tends to be really busy for me, and August tends to be dead. Whereas I know some people, summer across the board is their busiest time because people have holidays. I know for some people, their practices are absolutely dead for the entire summer because maybe they're working with people who have kids. And so now that their kids are out of school, they're not going to be coming in. But it's going to help you, again, when we do the planning for the next year, if traditionally summer is a slow time for you, you're probably going to want to do something to counteract that. So it may be that you do a free talk in the summer, or you do extra networking during that time. So you can actually start to buffer your practice against some of those traditionally slower times, because you're preemptively putting some things in place so that you're front of mind for people.
Yeah.
So that's where it's really important, particularly in the first year, to just document whatever's happening, because then you'll actually be informed when you're doing your planning in the years to come. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions around that, or is anyone already doing something along those lines? No.
Can I ask what that looks like for you, Constance? Is it an Excel sheet or something? Or
yeah, it's an Excel sheet, and also Clinico does does a lot of the record keeping for me, so I can actually just say, show me January to November of this year, and it will actually graph it for me. And
awesome.
Then I can just say, okay, now show me January of this year to December of that year, and then I can put them side by side. So I can do that, but I also have a big spreadsheet that shows income level and amount of clients and things like that, just so I can start to get a sense of what was happening.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
So Clinico is great because it just does it, but I do have some other things I do on top of that, just for to fill in the gaps that it doesn't take care of. So, but how about for you, John? Is this something that you've been tracking in your practice?
Yeah, I use the Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. It's good. It shows me, I think you're familiar with it, but it shows you activity towards your website, and you can set it up where, maybe you have a new ad campaign, or maybe you're posting a new blog. Mm-hmm. And you can actually sort of notate where that new event occurs. Yes. And then it shows you all the activity around it. It's good. It gives you, one of the things that I found useful about it was it gives you a lot of demographical information and geographical as well. It shows where people are accessing your website from, both by country and by province and city. Mm-hmm. And also gives you some demographics. The one that I always found kind of interesting is that it shows you a lot of information about what devices or what operating systems people are using. So, and that was one of the things that prompted me, because my website currently is not not iPhone or any smartphone. It's not really friendly for that. So And I noticed that there's more and more people were accessing my website from that. And I know from my own personal experience that when I'm on my iPhone and I'm trying to access a website and I can't open it up, or it's all the tiny little, you know, print and everything, I'll just go back to the next one and see what the other one looks like. And I'm sure that I probably lost people just by virtue of that.
So. Perfect. Well, and if anyone doesn't have Google Analytics set up on your account or on your website, it's a must. The link, there's a link to it in Track What Works in Existing Online. If you go there, there's a link that you can sign yourself up. And all it is you basically just get a piece of code that you then embed in your website, or your developer can put in your website, and it will track everything. It's pretty magical.
Awesome. So you have to register for it then.
Yeah. So you sign up for it. It's free to sign up. And then it just gives you a piece of code that you put on your website, and then they track everything for you.
Cool. Google Invite has a lot of good services that way. I use the Google Calendar for my clients. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned that from one of my clients, because I was just always sending out an email. Here's a reminder of your appointment. And then using Google Calendar, it was actually a client of mine, because he kept missing or forgetting. He wasn't getting my emails and whatever. And, you know, we had the little talk about, okay, so is this not the right time? Are you not committed? And he just said, why don't you use Google Calendar? He said, it'll send me like an alert on my phone. He said, I don't know. And so I was like, tell me about this Google Calendar. So it actually works well. And now I use it for the people at the clinic that I work in. They have access to my Google Calendar, so they can always go in. They know when I'm coming. And if a client's booking, they know when I have an opening. And
perfect.
And it's free.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I use Clinico for the piece that sends out my session reminders, but I use Google Calendar as my day-to-day, so that's where my long-range planning is always in Google Calendar, then the week before I just load it into Clinico, but you can absolutely just use that directly, and the email reminders, I think, are just a must. Mm-hmm. People start showing up.
Yeah.
So do you use anything that actually keeps track of the clients that you're seeing and the income that is coming in your practice per month?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. I would highly recommend it.
Is that part of that service that Clinico is, or is it?
It has that in there. Absolutely. Yeah. I can just go in and it tells me exactly how many sessions I have, how many of each. So it'll say you had this many couple sessions and this many individual, this many 90 minutes. So
right.
It takes care of all of that for me. And then I can just say, you know, by dollar value, by type of appointment. And it'll actually track how many new clients I have as well.
Okay.
So it'll show me which months I traditionally get more clients. So it has all those things, but I also have just an Excel spreadsheet that I use for certain things just to keep track of it.
Yeah.
So again, if Clinico isn't something that you want to invest in, Excel does the same thing, but it's just like with that Google Analytics, is it gives you informed information.
Yeah.
What's working? If I'm all of a sudden getting tons of couples, okay, well then maybe I need to look at that. Is that good? Am I happy with that? Do I want to be seeing that many more? If not, or am I getting a certain type of client that, you know, it's not working for me? I don't want to be getting these calls anymore. Do I need to change my website? Do I need to? It just helps you make some choices around what are you actually doing with your marketing.
But I guess maybe I do, because I do have a sort of a system in place, because I use Square for all my payments. And Square, I can go in and it shows me all my by week. It can go day by week, by month, by year.
Yes.
And it shows what I've charged for, how much I've charged for. It gives me all the information of who it's been charged to. So.
Yeah, and then there's so many ways to get that information. I find it's just been really invaluable having every 3 months sitting down and just, it's kind of like just taking a state of the union of how am I doing? Is it, are we up? Are we down? Are we doing about the same? Is that okay? Because there's going to be times where you're going to be seeing less clients or making less money than you had the previous quarter or the previous year. And that's actually going to be great because maybe you took some time off for a vacation. Or you dialed back your practice a little bit because you were working on another project. It's just more that then at least if there's something happening and you're not the one in charge of it. So if you consciously said, I need to dial back my practice a little bit to deal with something. The fact that you're not maybe making as much is going to be really not a shock to you. Whereas if nothing changed and all of a sudden your numbers are going down significantly, it's just, it's going to at least let you know something happened. What do I need to do?
Right.
Whereas if we're not keeping track, often it'll be, I've seen people where their practices have actually been in a downslide for sometimes 6 to 9 months before they really realize they're actually hemorrhaging money in their practice because they're just not stopping to check in and say, oh, actually, it turns out I had a bunch of weekly clients that, you know, went down to monthly, or I had a bunch of people finish up, and but I hadn't done any marketing to fill those spaces. So it's just important to just check in with your practice. I feel like it's like with any other relationship. Sounds kind of odd, but I feel like I'm like, I kind of have like almost a relationship with my business, and like, how are we doing? And if I don't pay attention to it and ask it how it's doing, eventually it starts to ignore me and doesn't want to play anymore. That's just, all right, are we still on the same page? Are you happy with me? Is there anything I need to do? And then you just go do it. And if you're doing it often, that's where I find that every 3 months seems to work for me. It usually doesn't take very long. As long as you have some kind of system in place that's keeping track of these things, often it's an hour where you just sit down and look at all your numbers and say, yep, everything's going the way I think it should be, and this is what I'm going to focus on for the next little while, or, oh, something's happening, I need to take a look at it. Whereas if you haven't done that for a while and it's been 6 months, 9 months, a year or more, now all of a sudden you really have to go back and do a serious investigation to figure out, okay, what's happening here? And where am I at? And am I even breaking even? And am I losing money? And what's happening here? So just finding some type of system to just keep your practice on track. And I do that with my business. So the actual numbers side of it. But then I also do that with just the admin side of my practice. Every quarter, and this was outlined in the module, where just going and checking, are all my files up to date? Are there any outstanding bills? Is there just anything administratively that I need to keep on track with? So it doesn't slide too far. But like with everything else, if there's no plan for it, it won't happen. Mm-hmm. You're not magically one day just going to say, what I'm doing right now is going through all of my old client files and just seeing if everything's up to date. Nobody, you don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. But if things go too far, then it's really tough to make sure that everything's on track. So some people do it every month. I find every 3 months is usually enough for me. At least every 6 months. I wouldn't go longer than 6 months without doing it, kind of a touch base with your practice just to see how things are going. All right. So does anyone else have any questions around what we've talked about either today or any of the other modules? I know we're coming to the end, but I know people are still working on this previously. I know, Courtney, you'd written down a question.
Did I? I think that was Carmen? Me.
Yeah. Oh, Carmen, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was like, shoot, I don't remember what question I wrote. I signed up for the weekly snaps. last week, and I just want to confirm, I'm paranoid now about using images. So like, I just want to confirm that you can actually use these weekly snaps images on your website. Okay. That was all just a little thing.
And that's, and I posted a link in the group as well, Libra stock photos, which was free as well. And I'm actually, that's what this week's blog post is going to be, is I have a list of other ones. Unsplash.com is another one. But there's quite a few free resources now. What you'll start to see when you actually start clicking through a lot of them is they share similar images. So a lot of the times, if it's a free photo, they'll license it to a bunch of different sites. But you just want to make sure that wherever you got them from, often there'll be some form of license that will come with the download. Just hold on to it.
Okay.
As long as you're not doing a Google search, stealing pictures offline, generally you're probably going to be able to. But the reason why I do recommend holding on to the license is what can happen, and it's rare and you can fight it, it's just a giant pain in the butt, is at one point, say, something was free, and then, say, 10 years later, it might get sold to a company that now licenses it for a fee, and they may potentially then come after you and say, oh, no, you didn't pay us for that, and as long as you have something saying, no, I got it from here.
Okay.
At this time, they can't retroactively charge you for something after the fact when you got it in a free way.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
As long as you're being reasonable about it.
Yeah. Oh, I have one other question, and it was headshots.
Yes.
And if you have any suggestions for, I just know photographers are really expensive, so if you have any suggestions for inexpensive headshots.
So if you can't find someone who's reasonable in your area, I was going to say, if you were in the Lower Mainland, I have someone who is incredible and very, very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
So if you're ever coming down, I can definitely give your contact details. Really nowadays, I mean, you can actually even do really great pictures on phones nowadays.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of making sure that you have the right lighting.
Okay.
I find it really makes a difference if you can use soft lighting as opposed to really hard lighting, and shoot slightly from above.
Okay.
Now, I think it's on the website. If not, I sent it out to the list, and I will make sure it goes up on the website. But I actually interviewed a photographer who gave all of her tips for doing a good DIY headshot. I'll if it's not on the website already, I will make sure it's there. And if it is, I'll put the link in the group. If you are getting a friend to take pictures for you, though, just making sure you're getting the typical, this is me in my headshot, but particularly with websites, making sure that you're getting a few different sized photos. The one that people often forget is the banner photo. Getting one where it's you and then off to the side there's just empty space, because that's where you're going to want to write things beside you, whereas if it's you right in the middle, often there's not enough room on either side to put anything, and it just becomes this really big picture of you with lots of space on either side. And so just making sure that you're getting them to just offset some of those pictures so that you can use them for headers on your website. And you're probably going to want to get one that's more of a body shot. So kind of from the waist up, and then as well the tighter headshot that's a bit more of that traditional headshot.
Okay.
So just get a few different options.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Anyone else? Any other questions?
I've got a question about images.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I'm a couple weeks behind right now.
You may have covered this
in the content. But speaking about stock images, so two things came up for me. One is that the website, I guess hosting, or not hosting, but whatever the software, online software that I'm using, they have free stock images like a selection of free ones.
Are you using Squarespace?
I'm using Wix.
Oh, okay. Don't use Wix.
Don't use Wix? Really?
I mean, it's fine. It's fine if you are using Wix. It's not the end of the world. I just don't necessarily recommend them because they're not as good for SEO.
SEO, okay.
So search engine optimization.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the problem with them is often you don't necessarily, there's aspects of your website you don't own.
Oh.
So again, things like the stock photography, if you were to move your site, you wouldn't be able to take any of those pictures with you.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you're planning on staying there, and in your situation, I don't think it's going to be a huge deal because you're not actually launching a live practice currently. By the time you decide that you want to, I would maybe look at transitioning to a different platform. For now, it's fine because people who are finding it are going to be probably finding it because it's going to you directly. Just making sure, and I don't know, I'm assuming Wix must have this option. I know Wix often, it'll be like your name.wix.com.
I bought a domain name though that I'm going to use.
Perfect. So as long as you have that.
I do, yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
They're as long as they're actually like your proper domain, there's the Wixes and Weeblies and things like that that are, they're all kind of in the same ballpark. And just Google doesn't like them as much. As Google really likes WordPress sites. Squarespace is a really close second, it seems like, at some point. And then the rest of them, the Weeblies and the Wixes and things like that are fine as long as they're not really trying to do a lot of search engine optimization with them.
Can you build it in, though, through other ways? Like, it's just...
You can, but it's just you have to do a little bit more work to do it.
Okay.
So, again, it's not the end of the world. It's not an absolute no-no. I just, if people are asking, I usually say, just, I wouldn't go there. But in the beginning, it's not going to be... It'll be fine.
Okay.
But, yeah, with those sites, and Squarespace is the same way, they do have access to... photography, you have access to them as long as you're paying for their service.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you were to all of a sudden move your site, you would ultimately be having to purchase your own or finding new pictures.
Gotcha. Okay. That's helpful. And then the second thing was around like choosing stock images, and you know, on a lot of websites for therapists, there's, you know, the prototypical photo of the therapist with the couple sitting there looking at them, and then there's this photo, and then there's like the old people, and then like trying to represent different demographics and different racial back, you know what I mean?
The token people.
I'm just wondering, like, I've like really leaned towards, like, my branding is very I don't know, I'd call it like West Coast, like really nature based, and I'm wondering if there's any research or if you're aware of whether it's beneficial, like more beneficial to just kind of stick with your branding and, you know, maybe your gut in terms of the images that you use to advertise your services versus going to something that is a little bit more explicit in terms of like, oh, okay, it's a therapist sitting with a couple. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, my personal soapbox is I hate people's stock photography.
Yeah.
Incredibly rare that it's done well. And then what happens is you do run into the problem of, well, if I put one person of this gender, then I have to have someone of this gender. Are they too gender normative?
And
is that okay? Now, do I have people of all of these different cultures and backgrounds? And it just, I feel like it's almost, then the more you try to tick those boxes, it almost gets worse because then it's like, great, now we have this person and that person. And now it's no longer about your website and what you're trying to represent. You're just trying to fill out a tick list of stock photography. I find the websites that do the best really are the ones that just pick a theme and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, it could just be a texture. It could be, my website is, I would say is similar, it sounds like, to yours, in the fact that it's more West Coast type pictures of just the ocean and leaves and rocks and nature type things. And then the only actual pictures on there are of my office or of me.
Cool.
And again, I mean, everyone's going to be different. It's just, if you're going to do stock photography, it needs to be good stock photography, because there really are those very typical things, and people aren't going to a therapist website, I don't think, and looking for a picture of them. What they do want to know is that do you get me? And so there's going to be certain populations that's it's going to be really important that you're letting them know that, yes, I work with you. That may be certain symbols that you can place on your website just to show that you're an ally, or certain language that you can use in your copy is going to, I feel like, portray that so much more than this tokenized picture.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
But cool. That's kind of my... It's my personal soapbox on that one. I think bad stock photography is actually turns more people off than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I've been struggling with images, but I was leaning more towards nature. Mm-hmm. The websites I like are more nature based. So yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my gut. That's what my gut was telling me too. I was like, okay, I kind of put these photos in and was like, do I need to look for these other things? I don't think so. I don't think
mm-hmm. How about for you, Sean? What type of images are you planning on using on your new site?
Yeah, I'm going to be going more towards the nature myself. I was never really super happy with the images that I have on my website, because they are pretty much exactly what all of you just described. So I don't know, for me, I like the look, I like the aesthetics of that, so that's where I'm going to be going. My web guys, I just kind of put them on hold until we're done all of this, so that I can then sit down with him, and you know, I guess essentially kind of rebrand my whole website for me. So
cool.
Great. And how about for you, Tanu? Do you have a sense of what type of images that you might want on your website?
Yeah, I think I was hoping to also kind of pick something that I felt spoke more personally to who I am and what I'm about, and I think what my clients will ultimately be about as well.
Yeah.
So probably taking some original photographs, whether by myself or with a photographer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess... we're all from the West Coast, so kind of that kind of naturey, ocean, trees, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I find when I look across and I look at a lot of people's websites, it just needs to make sense for your clients. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that there are some people that if they work with maybe say a more corporate clientele, you can still do corporate in an artistic way. Where it might be that there's just, you know, up close of pens or, you know, something like that, or computers, or there are ways you can do it where you're still not having those typical stock photos of, the one that kills me is it's usually a couple sitting on a couch, and it's usually a male and a female, and the female sitting there with her arms crossed staring up one way, and the guy's leaning forward with his head in his
hand.
I see that. A version of that photo one more time. I think my head's on. Pretty please none of you put that picture on your website. That would make me so funny. But, perfect. Okay, well, we have one more week left. This is actually the end of the real content. Next week is really more of an overview. We're going to start putting it all together. So don't worry as far as next week feeling like there'll be one more thing to do. It's really just an overview, a recap of everything. But also we still do have a group call next week. And next week's group call really is the mismatch catch-all of any questions anyone has about anything that we've covered up until now. So I know, Courtney, you were saying you're a few weeks behind. I know quite a few people are. And that's totally fine. The idea of this is that you're going to be able to go through this program at your own pace with the handouts. And that way, even if you're not able to actually keep up and do everything during the program, you have all of the information available to you. So you can just print it out and do it at your own pace after the fact. So next week, if there's anything that you want to actually ask live, that's what that's going to be there for. like I said, the information is, you're going to still have access to the actual content itself until the end of December, but you'll have access to the alumni group afterwards as well. So even if you're not doing anything in December, if you're putting your feet up and saying it's holiday time and I don't want to think about this, in January and in the new year, I'll be here to answer any quick questions that you guys have too, because I get invested in your guys' practices and I want to see this through. So we're gonna make this work for everybody. So so we still have one more week, but you can rest easy. There's not going to be a grant assignment coming through on Friday. So have a great night, guys.
And you too.
We'll see you. Thank you.
Thanks, Constance.
Bye. See you. Bye, guys.
Bye.